Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Bank to the Future, Protect Your Future Before Governments Go Bust, by Simon Dixon. Is a personal finance and monetary policy guide written for readers who sense that the modern financial system is fragile. Drawing on Dixon's background in banking and his public advocacy around reform, the book frames government debt, central banking, and the structure of commercial banks as key forces shaping everyday wealth. It explains how crises can emerge from incentives built into fractional reserve lending, bailouts, and moral hazard, and why ordinary savers often carry hidden risks through deposits, pensions, and property exposure. Rather than focusing on fear, Dixon positions the reader as an active participant who can learn how money is created, how banking balance sheets work, and how policy decisions can transfer losses across society. The book blends macro-level critique with practical, defensive steps aimed at resilience, including diversification, counterparty awareness, and preparing for periods of currency debasement or financial repression. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how modern money and banking really work. A core theme is financial literacy at the system level, understanding where money comes from and why banking stability matters to personal stability. The book emphasizes that most money in circulation is created through bank lending rather than printed in physical form. When a bank issues credit, it expands its balance sheet, and that process links everyday borrowing to broader monetary conditions. From this lens, the health of banks and the rules that govern them become central to the well-being of depositors, mortgage holders, and investors. The discussion also highlights how leverage, liquidity mismatches, and interconnected exposures can turn a localized problem into a systemic one. By unpacking concepts like fractional reserve banking, maturity transformation, and the role of central banks as lenders of last resort, Dixon aims to show why confidence is a critical ingredient in financial systems and why that confidence can evaporate quickly. The practical takeaway is that people should not treat bank accounts, pensions, or brokerages as risk-free containers. Instead, they should learn to ask what sits behind the promise, who the counterparties are, and what happens under stress when institutions must refinance or revalue assets. Secondly, government debt, bailouts, and the risk of fiscal breakdown. Another major topic is the relationship between government finances and the banking sector. Dixon argues that when governments accumulate large debts, they often become dependent on continued borrowing, low interest rates, and confidence in sovereign bonds. Banks, in turn, frequently hold government debt and rely on government backstops, creating a feedback loop between public balance sheets and private balance sheets. The book explores how bailouts and guarantees can socialize losses, shifting the burden to taxpayers, savers, or future generations. It also considers how policymakers may choose between painful options in a crisis, austerity, higher taxes, inflationary policies, or restructuring of obligations. Within this framework, the phrase "governments go bust" refers less to a simple default and more to a broader loss of credibility that forces abrupt policy changes. For households, the risk shows up as changes in purchasing power, reduced public services, pension pressure, and new forms of financial repression such as capital controls or forced participation in rescue schemes. The reader is encouraged to track fiscal trends, understand how sovereign risk affects bank stability, and prepare for a world where policy may prioritize systemic survival over individual savers. Thirdly, banking crises and the mechanics of loss. Shifting, the book pays special attention to how crises are managed and who ultimately absorbs the costs. Dixon discusses the idea that the financial system often protects large institutions and systemic players first, while ordinary stakeholders face indirect losses through devalued currency, reduced returns, or restrictions. He explains how a crisis can progress from asset bubbles to bank insolvency, then into emergency interventions that reshape contracts and expectations. A key educational point is the hierarchy of claims. Equity holders take losses first, then subordinated creditors, then potentially senior creditors and depositors depending on rules and political choices. Even when deposits are insured, the effectiveness of insurance depends on the credibility of the guarantor and the ability to fund payouts during widespread stress. The book also links crisis responses to moral hazard, arguing that repeated rescues can encourage risk-taking and concentrate power. For the reader, the actionable lesson is to stop viewing financial products only by their stated yield and start evaluating tail risks, liquidity, and legal structure. It encourages building a personal plan that anticipates freezes, limits on withdrawals, or disruptions in payment rails, and that reduces dependence on a single institution or jurisdiction. Fourthly, personal wealth defense, diversification, counterparty risk, and resilience. Beyond diagnosis, Dixon focuses on practical steps to protect personal finances in uncertain times. The book frames protection as reducing single points of failure, one employer, one bank, one asset class, or one currency. It urges readers to think about counterparty risk, meaning the risk that the institution promising payment cannot perform when conditions worsen. This includes banks, insurers, pension providers, brokers, and even governments. The guidance supports diversifying holdings across institutions and, where feasible, across jurisdictions, while also keeping liquidity available for emergencies. It also stresses that not all diversification is equal if assets are correlated during crises, so the reader should consider how investments behave under inflation, deflation, credit crunches, or currency stress. Another practical thread is improving personal balance. Sheet strength, lowering high-cost debt, extending time horizons, increasing savings buffers, and building income resilience. The book positions these moves not as market timing, but as robust preparation that can help a household navigate policy changes and market shocks. Overall, Dixon's approach treats risk management as a lifestyle discipline, informed choices, continuous learning, and clear contingency planning for extreme but plausible scenarios. Lastly, reform, alternative systems, and the future of finance. A final topic is the debate over how finance could be redesigned to reduce systemic fragility and align incentives. Dixon's message is that citizens and consumers are not powerless. They can demand transparency, support better regulation, and choose services that reduce leverage and complexity. The book considers the idea that banking can evolve through new business models, technological innovation, and governance changes that shift risk away from unsuspecting depositors. It also highlights the broader cultural question of what money should do: serve as a stable medium of exchange and store of value, or act as a policy tool to manage cycles and public debt. In discussing alternatives, the book encourages readers to evaluate proposed solutions carefully, including the trade-offs between stability, privacy, access, and control. The reader is invited to think critically about central bank policies, the consolidation of financial power, and the tension between short-term crisis management and long-term sustainability. The key takeaway is that protecting your future is not only about individual tactics, but also about understanding the direction of monetary and banking change. Informed participation, better choices, and support for accountable systems are framed as part of personal and societal resilience. In conclusion, this book best fits readers who want a clearer picture of why financial crises happen and how macro decisions can reach into personal savings, housing, pensions, and everyday purchasing power. It is especially useful for professionals, entrepreneurs, and long-term savers who feel uneasy about debt. Heavy governments and bank-dependent money creation, but who do not want to rely on sensational predictions. The benefit is practical clarity. By learning how banks, sovereign finances, and crisis interventions interact, you can make better decisions about diversification, liquidity, and exposure to counterparties. That can translate into a calmer, more resilient financial life with fewer hidden assumptions about what is safe. Compared with many personal finance books that focus mainly on budgeting or stock selection, Dixon's work stands out by connecting household choices to systemic risk, policy incentives, and the legal realities of crisis management. It pushes beyond generic advice by urging readers to stress, test their own balance sheet, and prepare for multiple outcomes, including inflationary or restrictive policy paths. For buyers, its value lies in combining a critique of the status quo with a framework for defensive planning, making it a strong complement to more traditional investing guides. If you would like to support Simon Dixon, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.